You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
What an inspirational man.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
He's the real deal.
Yeah, we talked with Devin Henderson out in the newsroom for a couple of minutes after the show, or after the hour. He's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
He's one of those guys I'm just absolutely privileged to know.
And I'm sorry, the number trick, that was the one with the envelope?
Yeah.
But the Rubik's Cube.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to lose sleep on that one tonight. Like, how did he pull that off?
I got to airdrop you the video later on so you can share
as
it.
Yeah. So
go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Oh, I was just going to say, as he said, you pulled it off, not him.
Because I was the one who, for 30 seconds, with my eyes closed, randomly mixed up the Rubik's Cube.
Which was hilarious to watch, by the way.
Thank you. And then I hand it back to him, and the Rubik's Cube that he's holding is exactly the same pattern on all six sides.
You nailed it.
I didn't do anything.
Nailed it. Success looks different for everybody.
And I love that message that he had. Success doesn't always have to be every side of the Rubik's Cube is perfectly filled out.
Well, how many times has a door closed that you thought you wanted opened in life, right? And you go, doggone it, didn't work out the way I want. And then some other door opens and it actually ends up better than you thought it could have been, right?
Living it right now.
Yeah.
You know my backstory.
I do.
Over the last two years.
I was kind of
a door closed and another one opened. I didn't say any names. You okay in there?
No, I just got a frog in my throat. Right. Somebody pump up the allergies.
Would somebody tell me what's wrong with Dan Weinbaum, please?
What is wrong with Dan
Weinbaum? Mysteriously quiet.
I'm just chilling.
I know, but normally we can't shut you up.
Well, I take your normal conversation and then I elevate it. I just, you know.
There's nothing to elevate?
Would you say you season it with salt?
Oh, with chili.
Mm-hmm. Dan, are you saying the bar is so low that there's no need to even try to elevate, or that the bar is currently so high that you don't think that you could elevate it any further higher than it already is sitting?
I'm just focusing on some other stuff. There's stuff going on in the news.
Great non-answer.
How was everything at Snow Creek this weekend?
Oh, it was great. Had our annual ski patrol refresher on Saturday when we go through all of our medical rescue skills.
Now, there's no. It's too warm for there to be snow on the hill, right?
Obviously.
Mountain.
Yes.
So this is just.
It's our training before the season starts. Huh. No toboggan work, just backboarding and strapping people down and splints and concussions and dealing with all that kind of stuff.
Is this volunteer work for you, or do you get paid for it?
I am a volunteer. There are others that are part of a paid patrol. Yes.
Is it as campy as the movie Ski Patrol? Was that early 90s?
You know, I joined because I thought it would be like that, but it's just not as interesting as the movies. Alas.
Wow. I just saw the look of disappointment just envelop your face.
I was expecting a lot more parties and hot tubs.
Dan kind of started to look.
Wow. Whoa. Why did we join?
Well,
to save lives or make lives?
Dan kind of got a faraway look as he was talking about that, kind of looking up at the sky. What could have been?
It didn't turn out the way I thought it would.
It really is a lot of fun. I keep doing it every year.
Good for you, man.
We need to get you up there. I'll take you on a ride in my toboggan.
Excuse me? Who can turn that down?
I know. It'll be bumpy.
Every man in this building.
Is Dana back? I mean, these are like Dana-isms right here.
Wait a minute, friend.
I would love to learn to ski, toboggan. Dan, so if we're going to bring this conversation back above the toboggan.
I mean, you're taking my clothes off with your eyes.
All right.
No, that's not what I'm doing.
I'm glad we got glass between us here.
It is a beautiful day outside. There's not a cloud in the sky.
You see, Deshaun Watson is likely out for the season.
Oh, if he ruptured his Achilles, he's out.
He did.
There's no coming back from that quick.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
I don't think there's a lot of people losing any sleep
over
this.
Why are we still trying to keep him relevant?
Aaron Rodgers lost last night.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did.
To the Pittsburgh Steelers. Atta baby.
Yeah, your Steelers look good.
Yeah, they look good. But the Chiefs are incredible. And I know Sam thinks they look terrible, but when you're a third of the way through the season and you're still undefeated,
yeah,
they're doing something right.
Well, and I pointed out last night, and I'm going to knock on wood before I even say this, last season we didn't have a good wide receiver core in any way, shape, or form, and we were predicted to win every single game. This season, we started the season with an amazing wide receiver core. And by started, I mean the preseason. By the time the season started, we didn't have any of it. They're all injured. Even Pacheco in the running back position.
Well, not Worthy. Right. Worthy's still...
Did you see what he did yesterday?
He's still working things out, I think.
And now we're undefeated, despite the fact that we were predicted to lose like 7 or 8 games.
Dare I say it's the Rubik's Cube of a football season thus far.
Oh, my God.
Way to bring that all the way around.
Yeah. Full circle.
Well
success,
done, Commander.
Yeah.
Well done.
I think it goes to the structure of the Chiefs and the coaches and just the entire structure that you can lose marquee players and Mahomes having more interceptions than touchdowns and still win.
It's that cliche where they say football is a game of adjustments. I think the Chiefs just do the adjustments better than anyone else.
From the text line, actually, Sam, there are quite a few clouds in the West. I was deflecting. Also, why did they think that Deshaun Watson was going to bring chemistry to a dying team? The Browns were not good, and they brought Deshaun Watson like, yeah, well, he's going to bring everybody back up.
They were 1-5 going into yesterday's game, and they lost yesterday. They're 1-6.
Yeah.
Former Iron Maiden singer Paul Di'Anno has died at the age of 66, according to his family. Paul Andrews, known by his stage name of Paul Di'Anno, passed away at his home in Salisbury, England. Di'Anno was the lead vocalist for the band from 1978 to 1981. They completed their two first records titled Iron Maiden in 1980, Killers in 1981, with Di'Anno before Bruce Dickinson replaced him. Here's one of their bigger hits from his time. This is Running Free. Bam. Paul Di'Anno was married 5 times and leaves behind 6 kids.
Is this the Bruce Dickinson, like of SNL Christopher Walken fame?
No.
Okay, just checking.
Well, wait, what do you mean?
You remember that skit, More Cowbell?
Yeah, but I don't remember Bruce Dickinson being mentioned in that.
That's his name, the Christopher Walken character in there.
Oh.
But he's a producer.
Yes, that would be him then.
Okay.
Huh.
Guys.
Oh. Do more.
You gotta want more of that cowbell.
That's actually not bad.
Not too shabby.
I'm always, you know, the Christopher Walken impersonation hasn't been that great over the years. I haven't kept up with it, so I.
Well, do that part one more
guys.
Time. Guys.
Guys. Sounded great. What happened?
Not bad, Commander. Not bad. 913-586-7798. Commander Jesse.
That was going to be a great track. Guys.
Guys.
Deal.
Are you sure that was sounding okay?
I'll be honest, fellas. It was sounding great, but I could have used a little more cowbell.
Always.
Best skit ever.
Commander Jesse Reed, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott here on KMBZ.
Put them in the Iron Maiden.
Iron Maiden? Excellent!
Execute them.
Odious.
Very nice, Sam. Good pick.
Well, thank you.
From the Associated Press. By the way, Iron Maiden never gets played, one of my favorite bands of all time, never gets played on the radio because they don't, quote, test well.
What does that mean?
So every year or twice a year, like radio stations like take 98.9 The Rock down the hall, for example. They'll get a focus group here at the building and people come in, you know, they're fans of the radio station.
This is some serious inside.
This is big time
right
inside. But this is how, but here's, everybody enjoys listening to the radio, and here's how it is determined what gets played on your favorite radio station if you like music radio. So they'll bring in like 20, 30 people, okay? And they get pizza and some sodas brought in, everything. And they will sit down, like take Bob Edwards, the PD program director from 98.9 The Rock, and they'll just play certain songs, like Tom Sawyer by Rush, The Trooper by Iron Maiden, Immigrant Song by Led Zeppelin. And by a show of hands, who would like to hear that on the radio? I would. If not enough people raise their hands or check the box or however they do it, those songs don't get played on the radio.
And no one ever raises their hands for Iron Maiden?
No.
Maybe they're picking the wrong group of people.
Bob said Iron Maiden tests horribly. That's a direct quote.
They just need to get the right people in there.
Story here from the Associated Press. Yeah, like me. Play them all. Horror movies topped the domestic box office charts, and an Oscar contender got off to a sparkling start this weekend. Smile 2 was the biggest draw this weekend. Terrifier 3 proved to be pretty strong as well in third place on its second weekend. Let's see. So Smile 2 brought in $23 million. The Wild Robot? Is that an...
Now, I heard that there was
movie?
A lot of hype around The Wild Robot. I also heard that it was incredibly underwhelming considering the hype. Do you guys remember The Iron Giant?
No.
It was an animation movie that took the 90s by storm. So never mind. same producer as that. Same producer as How I Met Your Dragon.
You don't like
How
to Train Your Dragon. You don't like that either? I can't. I'm not big into animation.
I mean, I used to watch The Simpsons. I always thought that was funny.
Well, then I won't break it down. It was a really good director who was supposed to make a really good movie, and from the people that I heard that saw it, it wasn't that good. Okay.
Are you guys horror movie fans? No. General?
I love scary movies.
Love it. My kids love them.
Can't do it.
We actually watched The First Smile, me and my youngest daughter. If you want to judge me as a parent here. Scott's smiling at me right now.
Now, I have not seen The First Smile. I heard, and I was, you know, full disclosure, not in the greatest headspace when it came out. I heard that if you were not in the greatest headspace, it wasn't a good movie for you to watch.
Yeah,
so I took that advice and I avoided it. But I've seen basically every other scary movie you can think of, and I love all of them.
We actually at home have been in a concert come October. Everyone in my house is trying to scare each other at all times.
Why?
Because it's fun. So, like, you know, like I popped up outside my daughter's bedroom window with a mask on last night.
That's terrible.
They were hiding spiders in my sink, like plastic spiders, to get me to jump. And then my poor mom and dad came over yesterday, and my mom was like helping make dinner to watch the Chiefs game. We had spiders everywhere. Every time she turned around.
Oh, poor mom.
Now you're just abusing her.
No, she did it to me first. That's right, mom.
Did she spank you?
No. No, but I would like hide a spider and then go sit on the couch, and then I would hear like a shriek, you know, 20 seconds later in the kitchen.
Terrifier 3 came in third with 9 million. Joker 2 is flaming.
I'm telling you, and I've repeated this theory multiple times. I think that when they signed the deal for the first Joker with Joaquin Phoenix, they signed a deal for one movie. And they thought to themselves, this will be fun.
No, they've said that. It was supposed to be a one and done.
And then it hit so well that they said, as it always happens in Hollywood, well, we need a sequel. And they thought to themselves, well, there isn't any more to the story, so what are we supposed to do? And this was what
they made up with. A musical.
And it flopped.
Came in sixth with $2 million.
I didn't particularly like the first one either.
Really?
Oh, I thought the first one was great.
They could have made a separate movie and not called it The Joker, and it was just about some deranged, depraved psychopath. But I guess I'm such a comic book guy at heart that like I like to stay true to the original stories, and that was nowhere near Gotham City. It just didn't resonate with me.
Well, none of the Batmans are either, though.
But at least it's a character, and the origin story is somewhat similar between the different Batmans. It may shift a little bit.
We binged Saturday night. I'm a huge fan of the movie Tombstone. But I've always been told...
That's the manliest movie of all time.
It is a manly movie. But I've always been told that about 50% of the movie Tombstone is just complete fiction.
Oh, yeah.
It's not even close to the truth. So we watched a documentary over the weekend on Netflix called Wyatt Earp and the Cowboy Wars. And I was actually surprised. It's really good, by the way. I think there's 4 or 5 episodes. We binged the whole thing Saturday night. And I was actually surprised, if this documentary is true and accurate, how much of the movie Tombstone they actually get right. The only difference is Ike Clanton comes across as a buffoon in the movie Tombstone, right? He's kind of the second in command or third in command. He's clumsy. He's fat. He's a loser. He's a dork. Ike Clanton was the actual leader of the Cowboys, and he was not a short, fat, clumsy dork.
He was cold and calculated.
He was a brutal killer.
Yeah.
Now, is this docuseries a run, do not walk, or a saunter towards maybe sit down and...
The fact that we binged it tells me it was a run, do not walk.
Okay. All right.
I mean, we did not go to bed until the last one was done.
Well, whether it's a true part of the story or not, the scene where Kurt Russell, White Earp, in the movie, smacks around Billy Bob Thornton and then goes, skin that smoke wagon and see what happens.
Yes.
That is the manliest scene in all of cinema.
Either that
or... I can just watch that scene alone.
When Doc Holliday says, I'm your Huckleberry. No, Doc, my fight's not with you, hey, Doc.
Top Gun aside, that is Val Kilmer's best role by far ever.
No doubt.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, so anyway, it's really good. It's called Wyatt Earp and the Cowboy Wars. And it's on Netflix. I can't remember. I think it's 4 or 5 episodes. But it is, if you like the movie Tombstone or the movie Wyatt Earp or any of those Westerns, it is really, really good. Telephone number is 913-5. Oh, I didn't know Wyatt Earp went on trial.
For what?
Murder. That's nowhere in Tombstone.
Oh, wow. Was it because of the OK Corral, the gunfight?
No, it was something else. It was another killing that he committed. And he was not this, at least for a time, he was not this super popular, you know, lawman from Dodge City, Kansas, that the movie Tombstone portrays him as.
Yeah.
He was, for a time, not only charged and taken to trial for murder, ultimately acquitted. Sorry, it's not a spoiler if it's history. But...
I don't have to go watch it.
For a time in Tombstone, he was despised.
Okay. Did he live happily ever after with what's her name, the actress?
He did, in California. Okay. That is correct. 913-586-7798. Commander Jesse Reed, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. Good to be with you guys on this beautiful Monday afternoon.
With no clouds in the sky except for some to the west.
Well, you were trying to change the subject.
I'm just goofing.
Dan was being naughty. Are adults today leaving a better world for the children of tomorrow? Most adults don't think so.
And fully admit it.
A new poll finds more than 7 in 10 parents, 72% of us, are concerned about what the world will look like for our children in the years to come. The survey of 2,000 parents of kids under the age of 18 saw that a quarter paint a bleak future for Earth's climate, saying that the failing environment will be more concerning than the future job market. 11% are worried about that. The quality of food available in the future, 10% are worried about that. Even the political landscape of this year and beyond, 5%. The survey found that good habits start in the home for only 41% who say it's a high priority for their household to practice sustainability. Nearly all parents surveyed encourage their kids not to be wasteful, 89%. According to the survey, some of the common sustainability lessons that parents try to pass down to their children are to turn the lights off when not in the room. That's not for the environment, that's for their check. Don't leave water running for long periods of time. Again, not for the environment. That's for their wallet. And to only use what they need. Others, only 50% of parents actively encourage their kids not to litter.
Yeah, the other 50 are actively littering in front of their kids. Have you driven on the highway lately? I don't want to be one of those guys that always complains about the trash on the highway. But that's I was in Nashville... where there were twice as many cars on the highway despite the lower population. I don't know how the traffic is so insane there. You know what I didn't see a single bit of on the highway? Trash.
Really?
We were on the highway 15 times in Nashville, didn't see a single piece of trash.
No way.
And I was looking.
That would be one of my Festivus Friday editions, would be someone flicking a cigarette as they're going down the highway out the window.
Now I didn't look close enough to see if there were cigarettes, but yeah.
But hang on for a second. I'm trying to remember. The last time I saw somebody smoke.
I've pulled up to a stoplight and seen somebody smoking the wacky weed. Is that what the kids call it these days?
No, I think that's what we called it when we were kids.
The devil's lettuce.
The devil's lettuce.
People still smoke cigarettes, man. No. It's more prevalent than
you
think.
Cue the Matthew McConaughey clip.
Well, no, I'm sure. I, especially with your other job, I'm sure you get plenty of people that come in and...
Oh yeah,
and buy cigarettes from you. But to Jesse's point though, I was in, gosh, where was I? I was in a convenience store. I don't remember which one. The guy behind, the guy in front of me, his last name might as well have been Spicoli. He reeked like the nation of Colombia. There was more weed embedded in the fabric of his clothes.
His DNA.
Than anything I had ever smelled in my entire...
Wait, where'd you say you were?
I was at a convenience store.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, if it's the grocery store, he just had to pregame so he can really know what he wanted, you know?
Wow.
Pretty proud of that
one. He had to get in a snacky state of mind.
Not bad. I saw him in the chips aisle for like 30 minutes.
Just started eating them right there.
He wouldn't leave.
Oh, have you? What do you guys think of when somebody's in line to check out and they're already eating the food they haven't even bought yet?
I don't know why that irks me to a degree that I cannot explain.
It's intense for me.
Okay. Ooh. I'm not alone?
Scott.
Are you a snacker before you get to the checker outer
guy? I'm going to buy it. I know I'm good for
it. What if your card doesn't work all of a sudden? Please. Oops, sorry.
Please.
Please.
Okay, no, simmer
it could be network's down.
He's saying please because he always has his checkbook with him.
Oh. That's not true. Now that is false.
Sam, I always carry cashier's checks with me. Traveler's checks.
I never ever take my checkbook out of the house. That is false.
Are you the guy slowing up the line at the grocery store writing checks for like 69 cents for a pack of gum?
No. Okay. I haven't written a check in a grocery store in 2 months. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. In probably 20 years or more.
I haven't written a check for groceries ever.
Even when you were a kid? Like in college?
No. I either cash or a card.
I mean, this is a sign of my age, but I've never even owned a checkbook.
That's just incredible to me.
I've written checks because my mom wanted me to know how to do things in life, and so she had me fill out checks on her behalf just so that I would know how to do it, but never in my life. When I got a bank account, they were like, do you want a checkbook? I'm like, I don't know. Do you have a debit card? Yeah. Okay, I'll take that.
So this is you and Sarah. Well, you're a little bit older than Sarah, but my oldest daughter. When I was in the clink last year at rehab, I was there for 30 days, right? And bills don't pay themselves. And I'm not going to expect Sarah to pay for my Evergy bill or my Water District 1 bill. Mm-hmm. So I remember on a weekend when we would get phone privileges for 2 hours a day. And so one day, it was on a weekend, I called Sarah and I'm like, okay, so the checkbook's in the top drawer of the desk in the office. And she's like, okay. And I go, now, it says pay to the order of. She goes, uh-huh. I go, write Evergy. I was trying, Sarah had never written a check in her life.
You never taught her how to do it?
No.
Oh, my God.
No, well, because I recognize that.
The sign of the times.
Yeah, that I'm the last relic of a bygone era. I get it. And finally, I ended up calling my neighbor, Heather. And I said, Heather, Sarah's over at the house.
Please help her write a check.
Go over there and write them.
I swear to God. Sam, I swear to God.
I'm tired of talking her through it.
So I said to Heather,
the
I go,
third one.
I'm running out of phone privileges here. I got like 30 people to call. Who are we kidding? 30 people to call that won't answer. And so I called Heather. I said, Sarah's over at the house. Will you please, if you don't mind, go over there and explain to her how to write a check? And she goes, are you kidding? I go, no, I'm serious. My sweet daughter is across the street. Will you show her how to write it? And the stamp, because she's probably never sent in a bill in her life. I said, the stamps are in the clutter drawer to the left of the fridge. And she goes, so she's not going to know to put a stamp on the envelope? And I said, I don't know. But she doesn't know how to write a check. So I'm imagining she doesn't know
how to.
So
the sky's the limit.
Yeah.
Now, was your ego writing the checks?
Not back then.
Nice.
Could your body cash them?
You know it.
Nice.
Thank you, Sam. Somebody noticed.
Your ego's writing checks your body can't cash. What movie was that from?
I don't remember. I'm not allowed to quote movies.
Why?
We've been over this. You can't be a Top Gun former instructor. You can't be a graduate.
Oh, and
you can't quote the movie. So I pieced it together cleverly there where it was not an actual quote.
Is that a Top Gun quote?
It is. Don't you remember when they get chewed out in the office there?
Oh, that's right. That's right. Son, your body's writing checks.
Yeah.
Your ego's writing checks. Your body can't cash. That's right.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's his favorite movie of all time.
Well, no, it's been replaced.
Oh, that's right. Never mind.
By Top Gun Maverick.
That's right, baby.
Nerd.
And we got so much room in there for movie quotes.
From the text line, I graduated in 2018 and we learned how to write checks. Where? I graduated in 2015 and they didn't teach us.
They taught you. You just weren't paying attention, probably.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Were you a good student, Sam?
I was a good student.
Okay.
I had above a 4.0 with those honors classes. Mm.
You know, I
was a nerd.
This is going to be a shock. I never, ever got higher than a 3.6.
You said it was going to be a shock?
And that was in college. Like, what? Well, I'm sorry that I didn't get to grow up to be a Top Gun fighter pilot. I'm just a big blowhard on the radio.
Now, guys, this is going to come as a shock to you, but I'm not as smart as you think I am.
Nice. Oh, you guys are mean. 913-586-7.
He's breathing there. He's taking up all the oxygen.
586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. The name of the band was Dada.
One of the best bridges in
it's a great
80s,
song.
Late 80s?
Great song. We have the annual Law Enforcement Appreciation Luncheon coming up this week, downtown Marriott. One Commander Jesse Reed will be featured speaker at that.
Presenter.
A presenter.
Yes.
Okay. Let's bring in Tammy Holtis. I don't recognize the last name. actually, saw your husband here earlier today.
That's great. He gets around there, doesn't he?
He does. Yes. This is where the checks get written. Tammy, welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's great to join you today.
But tell us about the annual Law Enforcement Appreciation Luncheon. It's on Thursday downtown. What's it all about?
So it is hosted by the Kansas City Metropolitan Crime Commission. Kind of a big, ominous sounding name, that this commission has been in existence for 75 years now, doing a mission of public safety throughout the entire greater Kansas City area, both sides of the state line. And so each year, from the start, they have taken a time to show appreciation to those in our area who protect and serve us and our families. And so that's what this event is. It's also, through the years, has kind of evolved into a fundraiser for the core programs of the Crime Commission. So it's kind of a dual purpose. It's our chance for the community to show their support of law enforcement and also to show support for the Crime Commission's the important work that we do throughout the community.
How did you get involved?
You know, that's I am so fortunate. Let's put it that way. I had a friend that was working for an organization. Her boss is one of our board members, and they had a need for someone to step in and help with some events and fundraising. And so she suggested me, and I got to meet with the staff here, and immediately felt like this was a place that would be a good fit for me, and I just felt the real pull on my heart for the mission. And so I started right when everything shut down for COVID and have been here since the early part of 2020. And so just been learning so much about the work of the Crime Commission, but also just the need in our city for the different impactful programs that we do. So I feel very blessed to have this opportunity. And every day, I love the people I work with. I love, the mission that we're working for. And it's just a joy to be a part of it.
And Tammy, Jesse here. Good to talk to you again. And, You know, I learned a little bit about the mission just in talking with you, and I agree with you wholeheartedly. It's a mission that needs to be there. The folks that risk their lives for us here day in and day out deserve that support. Is there a way, you know, for those that can't make it to the luncheon, and it is coming up Thursday, and it's pretty much, if you got a seat, you got a seat at this point. Is there a way people here in Kansas City can help out?
Always. There is. So we have a place on our website that you can make a donation. You can always just call our office as well. And we're happy to, you know, to walk you through ways that you can be a part of the mission. But on our website is kc-crime.org. And there'll be a tab on that site to make a donation.
Great.
So, yes, we welcome any help.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. And briefly here, before we get to the break, can you tell us a little bit about this year's guest speaker? It's a pretty phenomenal person.
Is that you?
It's not me. Oh. No. Not
me.
That
was going to be really funny
I will be helping introduce this person.
So our guest speaker this year, we are just so honored to have Lieutenant Colonel Dan Rooney. He will be traveling in from Oklahoma. He is the one person in the entire world who can say that he is both a fighter pilot and a PGA professional.
Pretty impressive.
So he has been able to combine his passion for golf and his passion for flying into what his mission in life is now. He is the founder of the Folds of Honor. And for those that haven't heard of that, it is a nonprofit organization that supplies educational scholarships to the spouses and families of our military service members who are killed in the line of duty or severely injured. And now they've expanded that mission. I think it was in 2022.
That's right. Yeah.
To include our first responders as well, which is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
So they do this phenomenal work to support those families.
He's also a two-time recipient of the Top Gun Award. I thought Jesse was impressive.
I'm going to have to ask him about that. I don't know what the Air Force Top Gun Award is.
So, you know, what's interesting, Colonel Rooney uses the term synchronicity. Mm-hmm. And he talks about chance with a purpose. And from the start, when we found out that he was going to be able to help us and come speak at this event, I feel like every time I turn around, there's these events happening that have synchronicity, including Jesse. I got connected with Jesse through a mutual friend, and Jesse's going to help kind of kick off the event with a kind of a fun introduction with my friend who's a flight attendant. And when I first got to visit with Jesse on the phone and I found out he's a Top Gun instructor, I just thought, oh my gosh, this is too crazy.
I agree, Tammy. I prefer the term serendipity as well.
Okay, there you go.
Tammy, thank you for joining us, and it promises to be a great event, the annual Law Enforcement Appreciation Luncheon at the Downtown Marriott this Thursday. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me on.
Okay.
Thanks, Tammy.
All right.
Okay.
Be well.
Two great organizations. I've had the privilege of working with Folds of Honor for a while. And just helping out with them, and now learning about the Casey Crime.
The Air Force has a Top Gun Award?
I guess.
You're not going to get in his grill or anything.
No, it would be only the friendly ribbing that a fellow fighter pilot would expect me to give him.
Okay. Do they have call signs in the Air Force too?
They do. Huh. They do. Yeah.
News with Dan Weinbaum coming your way in 2 minutes. Sam Stevie III, Commander Jesse Reed. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.